Today, my dear faithful, is the feast of the Immaculate Heart of Mary. And the epistle is taken from the Book of Wisdom, chapter 24. As the vine I have brought forth a pleasant odor, and my flowers are the fruit of honor and riches, I am the mother of fair love, and of fear, and of knowledge, and of holy hope. In me is all grace of the way of truth, in me is all hope of life and of virtue. Come over to me, all you that desire me, and be filled with my fruits. For my spirit is sweet above honey, and my inheritance above honey in the honeycomb. My memory is unto everlasting generations. They that eat me shall yet hunger, and they that drink me shall yet thirst. He that hearkeneth to me shall not be confounded, and they that work by me shall not sin. They that explain me shall have life everlasting. And the Holy Gospel, taken from the Gospel of St. John, chapter 19. At that time, there stood by the cross of Jesus, his mother and his mother's sister, Mary of Cleophas and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus, therefore, had seen his mother and the disciples standing whom he loved, he saith to his mother, Woman, behold thy son. After that, he saith to the disciple, Behold thy mother. And from that hour, the disciple took her to his own. And thus far the words of today's Holy Gospel. Let us come to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace in seasonable aid. Words taken from the introit of the Mass. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Today, my dear faithful, I would like to tell you about three men who all had something in common. These three men are Francisco Suarez, a famous theologian of the Church, St. Albert the Great, a doctor of the Church, and St. John Vianney, the Curé of Ars. As I said, these men had something, or I should say, several things in common. They were all priests. They were all very holy men. They all began their careers, so to speak, with a problem. And they all found the solution to this problem through the intercession of the Blessed Virgin Mary. Now, Francisco Suarez was from Spain, and he lived in the 16th century. He was of noble birth, but he was not talented in regard to academics and studies. When Francisco asked to enter the Jesuit order, he was at first refused because he had not had much of an education. He was eventually admitted, thanks to his perseverance, but still, he made no progress in his studies. He simply could not follow the lectures or remember what he read. He soon became very discouraged, and he was on the verge of giving up and pursuing the vocation of becoming a Jesuit, when his superior encouraged him to pray to Our Lady and ask her for the knowledge necessary for his vocation. Francisco began to pray fervently, and almost at once, his mind was enlightened. In no time, he was at the head of his class instead of the end of it, and he went on to become one of the most eminent writers and theologians of the Church. And every step of the way, he never forgot that it was Our Lady who did this for him. Despite his great learning and fame as a theologian, he never lost his childlike and tender devotion to the Blessed Virgin Mary. Now, the second man, St. Albert the Great. He is called the Great because of his universal renown as a teacher in the 13th century. But he, too, was plagued with a discouraging learning disability. But again, it was through the intercession of Our Lady that he received the intelligence necessary not only to pursue his own education, but in fact to become an educator and doctor of the Church. St. Albert the Great was actually the teacher of St. Thomas Aquinas, the most brilliant of all the theologians of the Church. And finally, there is that most famous of them all, the Curé of Ars, St. John Vianney. St. John Vianney had to struggle to learn even the basics of education. He was deprived of an education as a child, and when he tried to take up studies as a young man, it was so difficult for him that, like St. Albert, he nearly gave up. He later said that it was only through the help of Mary that he was able to learn enough to be ordained a priest. And of course, we know what a holy and zealous priest he became. All of Europe flocked to Ars in order to go to confession to this great saint. The devil himself testified that if there had been three such men as St. John Vianney in the world, the devil's kingdom here on earth would have been destroyed. Thus, these three cases show us what Our Lady can do for those who confide their troubles to her. Any troubles at all, not just difficulty with learning. In fact, if Mary would help someone attain a higher degree of secular knowledge, what would she do so happily for those who ask her for virtue, for humility, for purity, or the grace to love her and her son more and more? Today, as I mentioned before, is the feast of the Immaculate Heart of Mary. Just as the Sacred Heart of Jesus is the symbol of God's love for men, so the Immaculate Heart is the symbol of Our Lady's love for us. Today, therefore, is the feast which celebrates the love of the Blessed Virgin Mary, both for her divine Son and her children here on earth. The Immaculate Heart is filled with the same burning love for souls which fills the heart of our Lord. We know, of course, that no one has ever loved God as Our Lady did. No human heart has ever been filled with charity towards God as was the Immaculate Heart of Mary. But to love someone, you must love what that person loves. Our Lord loves the souls of men, and so, because Our Lady loves Christ, she too is burning with love for souls. She longs to help us. She wants to obtain from our Lord graces on our behalf. And so the Church applies to Mary the words of the Introit today. Let us come to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace in seasonable aid. And we know it is God's desire that we request these things of him through Mary. Just as God Almighty willed to come to us through Our Lady at the Incarnation, now he wishes us to go to him through Mary. The reason for that, very simply, is in that receiving graces from Our Lady, we will come to love her more and more. Our Lord loves his mother, and so he does all in his power to procure love and honor for her from men. He did this by giving her to us as a mother, and he does this still by dispensing his graces through her. As St. John Hughes once wrote, we must not separate what God has joined together so perfectly. Jesus and Mary are so intimately united that whoever sees Jesus sees Mary. Whoever loves Jesus loves Mary. And whoever has true devotion to Jesus has devotion to Mary. Thus it brings great joy to our Lord when he sees us speaking to Mary and confiding our troubles to her. And of course, it brings great joy to the heart of Mary when we go to her, asking for her help and assuring her of our love. The theologians Suarez, St. Albert the Great, and St. John Vianney needed help to perform work God had for them. They needed help, so they asked their Blessed Mother. And so too, God has something in store for each and every one of us. He has something he wants us to do in life, some work. And most especially, he wants us to become saints, for we are all called to sanctity. To become saints, we must be charitable, we must be pure, we must be meek and humble, we must be patient and persevering. We have to practice every virtue just as Our Lady did. Like these three holy men, then, we can go before Our Lady to ask her help. And we can say, "It is hard for me to learn humility," or "I am struggling to be charitable," or "I am too weak to avoid a near occasions of sin." And we can be sure that Mary will do for us as she did for these three great holy men. For our part, we must show that same dedicated love and devotion that the saints had for our mother. And so Mary of Mary's apparitions, from the time of St. Dominic up to our own time at Fatima, Our Lady has emphasized the rosary as being her favorite prayer and devotion. It is easy for us to let the rosary become routine, to find excuses to put it off, or to neglect saying it altogether on the pretext of being too busy. But 15 minutes of our time, my dear faithful, is really far too little to spend speaking with Our Lady, especially when we consider all that she can and hopes to do to help us. We must not let the distractions or care of the world cause us to neglect the things that really matter. And so, as we celebrate this feast of her Immaculate Heart, let us resolve to do what it takes to make and prove our devotion to Our Lady, and especially devotion to her rosary, that important part of our lives that it should be. Whatever you may need, my dear faithful, ask Mary for it, and be confident that you will receive it if it be for your good. And never forget, we have Mary's promise that in the end, her Immaculate Heart will triumph. May we always live so as to be worthy that we be partakers in that triumph. May God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen.